You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. Guys, I'm recording this on my phone, actually, in a dark room. I can't even get my microphone set up. Still in Turkey. This is a throwback episode, but it's a fabulous throwback episode. It is with Ashley Weatherford, who is one of my favorite beauty editors. We have a really great conversation. We also get into how do you know if a skincare product works? How do you know if a hair care product works? Her method for testing products before she recommends them is truly phenomenal. I hope you guys love this. I will be back next Monday with all new episodes for the next couple of weeks. Really, really good conversations. I spoke to the founder of Bread. I've talked to my friend Yara from Amicole. I've interviewed the CMO of Netflix, Bozema St. John. So really great episodes coming up. Thank you guys for all of the support and enjoy this throwback episode from the archives. This conversation is from March 2019 and it's a really good one. All right, let's get into the episode. Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. Okay, for this episode, I have to give a trigger warning. This conversation with Ashley Weatherford may cause an unshakable urge to buy new beauty products. I'm telling you now, I'm keeping it 100 with you guys. If you're trying to save your money, listen, take notes, do your budget, buy when you can. But after talking to her, I started buying a lot more skincare. I'm just going to admit it. Ashley's skin is so good. So I'm just trying to chase her magic so I can get on her level. And I had so many questions for Ashley because she's been in this game for a minute. She's been a beauty editor that I followed since she had her blog. And then she went to New York Magazine, and now she's at Into the Gloss, which, fun fact, my entire podcast was kind of inspired by Into the Gloss. When the site first came out, I just remember how much I loved reading these long-form interviews with interesting women about their beauty routine. It wasn't just thrown in as a question at the end, like, oh, what moisturizer do you use? They really went deep on beauty, and I thought that would be so cool in an audio format. So I reached out to Ashley, and I was so happy to hear back from her. And it was also a reminder to just kind of go out on a limb and introduce yourself or reach out to those people that are friends in your head that you've followed for a long time and admire. I think I need to do more of that, but I'm getting really comfortable just reaching out to people and saying, hey, I think you do great work. I'd love to talk more with you. Come on the show. I record at home. It's super casual. Let's just have a good conversation. But I wanted to know everything. She's just a treasure trove of information. The skincare tips on this episode come in hot and heavy. I wanted to know how she became this, you know, top beauty editor in New York from a blog. I also wanted to get insight into whether or not she feels any guilt, kind of inspiring consumerism, inspiring people to buy things, because I think especially in beauty, there's always this more, 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 the newest, latest thing. We also had to get into how Ashley prepared for her feature on Into the Gloss. And she was featured on the site before she even worked there. For those of you that aren't familiar, they photograph you at home, which is okay, fine. But then they also photograph your medicine cabinet and like where you keep all of your beauty products, which to me is sort of like being photographed naked. It feels super vulnerable. So I wanted to know how she prepared for that. Overall, really amazing episode. So excited to be sharing it with you guys. Before I wrap up my intro, I want to give a quick shout out to my listeners in London, in the UK. We did a very, very cute meetup at the Charlotte Street Hotel I guess that was 2 weeks ago when I was in London. We just had some tea and then we just talked. We talked for 2 hours about everything. We talked about having black hair in a white workplace and what their experiences were with that. I shared the fragrance that I've been working on with the girls who came, which I got really great feedback, which was really nice. And it was also just great to hear kind of when they listen to the podcast. A lot of you guys seem to listen in the morning when you're commuting. So shout out to everyone who's on their way to work right now or on their way home from work right now. That's probably even a better mood to be in. And also, though, just to get a sense of how long people have been listening. Some people have been listening for the past 2 years. Some people discovered the podcast, you know, a month ago and have gone back and listened to old episodes. So it was just really, really cool to meet listeners in person. And they were all so beautiful and cool and had great skin and they were really smart. And I was like, wow, you are all girls that I would spend time with and talk with normally, you know, and that's when it kind of just reminded me that this is really about a community. And I feel like all of the listeners of Naked Beauty, everyone who's on the Naked Beauty Planet Instagram page, I think of us as a little community where we can all share with each other and create more safe spaces and open dialogue and just have fun. So that was very special for me. My heart is feeling very full from that experience. Thank you so much to the women that came out. It was such a privilege to meet all of you. The number one question that I got was, when do you find the time to do this podcast with a full-time job? So full transparency, I'm sitting on the floor of my closet right now before work recording this, and I have to wrap up because I'm going to be late to the office, but I just get it in when I can, and I do it because I love it. And yeah, I'll try to do something in New York in the spring. I think that would be really great. So thank you guys so much for listening to the show, for sharing it with people, for rating and reviewing, for subscribing if you like it. I really appreciate all that you do to help elevate the show and help make it grow. So thank you all. Without further ado, let's get into the episode with Ashley. I am joined here by Ashley Weatherford, an OG in the beauty space. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
When I reached out, I like did it on, first of all, I had to build up the courage. Like I was like, I'm going to finally reach out to Ashley. Like 2019 is the year. I'm going to just ask her and see what happens.
Oh,
I think,
stop.
I think at first you like didn't answer. And then like 10 days later, you were like, yeah, I'm down. And I was like, yes. I was like really happy that you could come because I've followed your writing for so long.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm like, honestly, I would have done it in 2018, 2017.
Okay. That's really nice to know. You're approachable.
Yeah, of course.
There is an interview of yours. I want to say it's from 2017, maybe 2 years ago, where you say that your ultimate goal is to become the authority on beauty.
Oh, yeah.
And that when a product comes out, you want women to ask, what does Ashley think of it?
I cannot believe I said that. How egotistical.
No, it's not egotistical at all. And I would argue that you are there already.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I did not pay her to say that, by
no,
the way.
No, I'm being very serious. I mean, I think about Kathy Horn or Vanessa Friedman or all of like the great voices in fashion. And I think you're that for beauty.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I really do try to sort of cut through all the noise in beauty because there are a lot of... I mean, there are a lot of people who do write about beauty who have opinions about beauty, and I try to just really give my honest opinion about things and hopefully steer people towards the right direction when it comes to making their own purchases.
Yeah, and you're smart, and like it shows in your writing.
Well, thank you.
You were at Northwestern.
Yes.
And you were studying to become what eventually?
I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
I thought that was like a nice practical job. My dad's a lawyer. Okay. So I'd like, okay, makes sense. That was my thinking then as an undergrad.
And what made you pivot? Just the skincare blog you started on the side?
Well, after I graduated, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to be a lawyer. It sounds kind of boring because like, you know, when you're younger, you think like, oh, it's going to be exciting. I'm going to, you know, put the bad guys behind bars or free the good guys, like whatever. But actually, you know, I majored in political science and then I moved to DC after I graduated and I was studying for the LSAT. And I just had a moment where I really didn't think it was for me. Mm. And at the same time, I was like, I do need some outlet. And to me, that was my blog. So I started August Skin when I really, it was a combination of me at a job where I wasn't really feeling fulfilled.
Were you working at a law firm?
No, I was working at a nonprofit.
Okay.
Which is probably not that dissimilar from a law firm in terms of like, okay.
Bureaucracy and
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And just, I mean, it was not that exciting to me. And I needed some excitement. And beauty has always been that source of excitement for me.
And so where were you when you started the skincare blog?
I was in D.C.
You were in D.C.
And
okay.
I was like, I mean, the startup that I was at, it was super small. And it was a health nonprofit. So we were doing, very noble work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, I need something for me. And so that's when I sort of just put together our WordPress site at the very beginning and just sort of went away with it. I thought like no one would read it. Like, who cares, you know, what I have to say. But it.
And now you've had this amazing career in New York and you're at Into the Gloss now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I'm from Ohio originally. And I thought like, okay, if I want to move to a bigger place, a bigger city, I could do Chicago, you know, Northwestern's right outside of Chicago. That seems manageable. I could do DC.
Yeah.
I never thought I could live in New York. I thought New York was way too exciting, way too busy, way too overwhelming. And then when I got my job at New York Magazine, I think one of the first questions I asked was, okay, I know it's New York Magazine, but do I have to move to New York? And they're like, yeah.
It's pretty essential for this role.
So yeah, here I am now.
That's amazing that it started out as just a thing on the side. And I think about this podcast, when I started it 2 years ago, I was like, if people listen, cool. If people don't listen, that's fine. It's just for me. But I think so many people aren't willing to start little small things because they want it to be successful from the very beginning. They're like, oh, well, who's going to care? When I got like my first 20 listeners, when I saw 20 people listen to my first podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, 20 people listen to this for an hour? I'm honored. You know, you have to enjoy like the little moments on the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned earlier the fact that you try to give really honest reviews because you do inform people's purchasing decisions. Like I have bought several products because you have said like they're good. Like Kevin Aucoin's Sensual Skin Enhancer comes to mind. Olaplex. Mm-hmm. There's something that you just wrote about recently where I was like, I just need to get that. Oh, the Tatcha Primer. You were like, it's my favorite.
It's so amazing.
You were like, it's my favorite product of the year. And I was like, okay. I just need to get this.
It's so good. I don't even like primers, but I love that one because it does what all the other primers say they're going to do.
Okay.
Like this one actually does it. It's perfect. I can go on and on about that later.
Yeah.
If you want.
Yes. No, we're going to get deep into products later. But do you ever feel like a sense of responsibility or even maybe guilt? And I'll tell you why I'm saying guilt, because it's something that I have experienced recently, like on a very, very micro scale. Like I'll talk about an oil and then I'll see people are like ordering this oil. And I do think that consumerism is something that is not good. Like I don't think that you should always feel like you need to buy something new in order to have a good approach to your own skincare and beauty. It's really about building healthy habits. And I think that self-care and commercialism get conflated all the time. And actually they're two totally separate things. Do you ever feel guilty about the fact that you are inspiring people to just buy more things all the time?
I don't feel guilty about inspiring people to buy more things, especially because, you know, ultimately it's something that I don't write about things that I don't love. So if I'm writing about something, I think that this will add something to your life and whether or not you want to make that extra step to buy it, that's totally up to you. I do when in terms of like feeling guilt, when I do feel it, it's when I'm recommending a really great product that's also expensive.
Mm.
Like I feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, the thing is, when you're a beauty editor, you get most things free.
Yeah.
Like that's just how it is.
Chanel sending you their skincare.
Right. And it's like, and you know, a lot of people have just issues with that at the very beginning. But you know, my argument is always, well, we need to try everything and like, you know, it'd be improbable to be able to, you know, or impossible rather to try every single thing if you're buying it.
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, that's why I think it's okay that like someone like me is getting these things so I can be able to like give you the best thing that I've tried out of these like 10 or, you know, 20 vitamin C serums.
Right.
But like at the same time, I feel guilty when something is super great and I know I know that, you know, this is expensive to a lot of people because I've been on the other side. Like I've been like a beauty obsessive, a beauty fan my whole life,
yeah.
You know? Okay. So like before, when I started my blog, you know, way before people were sending me things.
This is like 2014, 2013.
Yeah. 2014. No, no. Yeah. 2013. Maybe. Yes. 2013, actually might have even been 2012, but I used to go to Sephora and instead of buying a product, you know, like we have the drawers underneath.
Oh yeah.
I used to like just make myself samples of basically everything. The ladies there hated me. They'd be like, excuse me, ma'am. Like if you, cause like you can get a sample. It's like totally fine. You could literally make a sample of anything you want in Sephora, which I don't think a lot of people know about because like they're not like super open about that.
No, they don't want you doing that.
But you know, that's how I used to do it. Cause I used to lust over those things that I knew that I couldn't afford.
Yeah. And you know what they do now? I feel like this is my workaround. Now they'll say that they don't have like the sample jars. So now I will bring a jar.
Oh, you see, you're smart.
Yeah.
You
like I'm like, prepared. Oh, I have something you can put it in. They'll be like, oh, we'd love to give you a sample, but we don't have any jars left. I'm like, oh no, I have something. And they're like thrown off. They're like, okay.
See, that's a good save. You showed them. Next thing they know, they're going to be like, policy, no BYO container.
Exactly. Do you remember your first really expensive skincare purchase? Did you splurge on La Mer when that was like all the rage or like?
No, it wasn't La Mer. It was, you know what? It was, well, to me, it was very expensive because this is like taking it back to when I was in high school, maybe. And I read that Beyonce is this one straight.
It always
iron.
Goes back to Beyonce.
Doesn't it all? It all roads lead to Beyonce. Yes. But like I read that Beyonce used this one flat iron and I was like, okay, well, Beyonce uses it.
So
obviously it was the FHI flat iron. And I think it was, I don't know, maybe like $150 and like coming out of my babysitter budget, that was like everything.
That's expensive.
Yeah. And so that was like my first big, big purchase. Like that was something that I had to save for when it comes to beauty.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what mine was. I don't think I spent money on skincare or products until I had a job.
Yeah.
And then I just like could steal things from my mom.
Yeah. I mean, like skincare to me didn't really come until, I mean, I was actually into skincare when I was in college, but I was into like drugstore skincare or Proactive and like things like that, you know, that were a lot more accessible.
And you have the best skin ever. I mean, it's like, it's, you can't not remark on it when you see you because you have incredible skin. What I'm curious though is like, is it genetic? Like, has your skin always been amazing? And would it be amazing even if you used facial soap?
No.
Really?
I mean, like, actually, you know what? I need to, next time I go home, I need to just like take a bunch of old photos of me
because
people do
not. I
don't
believe you.
People don't believe me. I used to have really bad acne.
Really?
Like, I still break out. It doesn't go away, contrary to like what they'll tell you when you're growing up. And you're like, oh, you'll grow out of it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, it still happens. But it's like the texture and like the suppleness of it. Like, you just have incredible skin. What's your mom's skin like?
My mom has great skin.
Okay. So I got a little genetic.
Yeah. No, I think like everyone's skin is like partially genetic. Yeah. My dad, on the other hand, like he didn't have great skin growing up. And he's actually the one who sort of like got me into beauty because like he had acne, like he had oily skin, things like that. And he didn't want me to go through the same thing. So like when I was a kid, he would show me how to steam my face or like show me how to do
amazing.
A face mask. But yeah, like a lot of it is, you know, genetics, but a lot of it is like what you put on your skin, how you treat it.
Yeah. Hard work.
Yeah. It is a lot of work.
And so you grew up in Ohio.
Yes.
Only child, siblings.
I have a younger brother.
Okay. Me too. How much younger?
He's 11 years younger than I
am. Oh, wow. Like a baby brother.
It's like he's my brother, but I'm also kind of his mom.
Yeah.
It's like a very interesting relationship we have where it's, you know, I always feel like protective of him because he is so much younger than I am.
Yeah. What's his skincare routine like?
He has eczema. So like, it's so weird. We have such different skincare issues. So his whole thing is like hydration. He doesn't want anything irritating. So actually, which is helpful in the winter because I learned all my like dry, you know, weather, dry skin
from your
remedies
brother.
From my brother. Like I know like CeraVe has a lot of hyaluronic acid. You gotta like layer, you gotta have your lotion and then you gotta have your oils, things like that, like are all my brother. But so he goes on and off, you know, the steroid creams for his eczema.
Oh wow.
But it's basically all moisture.
Okay. And where in Ohio did you guys grow up? I don't know Ohio that well.
That's all right. We're from Cleveland. We're from,
okay, I mean, I know Cleveland.
If you want to be more specific, we're from a suburb right outside of Cleveland.
Okay.
But yeah.
And what was it like? Was it like small town USA, like white picket fences, big high school, cheerleaders, football players?
We did have a big high school.
Okay.
So I'm from, just so like your listeners know, I'm from Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Oh my gosh. I'm the book that I'm reading right now is set in Shaker Heights. And I'm like learning so much about Shaker Heights, like literally the history of the town and like how everything is like in order. And like,
what's the book? I want to read it.
I just had it on my desk there. Oh my gosh.
You probably know more about
Little
Shaker.
Fires Everywhere.
Oh.
And it's becoming a series with Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. And it's all set in Shaker Heights. So like, I've been like, what are the chances? Oh my gosh, you're from Shaker Heights. Now I'm like, whoa.
Well, this is so, okay, first
That's
of all,
so
I need to read that book.
You need to, it's honestly a fabulous book. If I had finished it, I would just give it to you so you could just take it. I have a third left and I'm so into it.
Wow.
It's all in Shaker Heights.
You probably know more about Shaker than I do, actually.
Well, it was founded by, correct me if I'm wrong, like a religious group, right?
Yeah.
And it was all about like, we can design the perfect town if we set
and,
rules
like,
and regulations.
Be good,
and like if you work like, hard and follow the rules, you can have like a good, happy life.
It's a planned community. So it's, and you know, it started out that way. And like Shaker is like known for a lot of good things, like diversity. It was a suburb where like there was this effort to really diversify, you know, the population to like intermingle. And legacies of that nature, like they remain today. Like there's groups in school that I remember I participated in where we would talk about different issues related around diversity.
Yes.
And I swear, like everyone who like came out of Shaker, that we have like a firmer grasp on how to communicate with people who are different than us, because like we were given those tools at a very young age and made to feel comfortable about it. Like we were, you know, taught to be comfortable about talking about race or like talk about, you know, discrimination,
yes,
things like that.
Well, this book, it's set in a high school and it's kind of about how this big race conversation comes up in the school. Did you go to Shaker Heights High?
I did.
Oh my gosh. This is just, what are the chances?
That's so crazy. I love it.
And in school, did you feel like you were like part of a clique? Like, were you with like the popular girls or were you just kind of like doing your own thing?
I don't think I was popular. I don't think I was, I mean, I had friends and like, I had like a good group. But I don't think I was like, everyone knows Ashley,
right,
or that sort of thing. I was more so a nerd. Like I see myself as a quiet, shy person. Other people will say otherwise.
I mean, you hosted like a reality show on YouTube. So I'm going to say you're not.
Not to like bring in Beyonce again and not to compare myself to Beyonce, but let me compare myself to Beyonce. You know how she has her like Sasha
Fierce? Yeah.
That to me, that is definitely like what I do. You have to like tap into something that is not you. Because like when I'm doing that stuff, it's like a whole other person. I still want to be this like quiet Ashley, you know, who was just down in the books and just wanting to like get an A on her paper or whatever. Play the clarinet. I was in marching band. Like I was, you know, a nerd.
And how did you kind of get this appetite for glamour? And
I loved beauty without knowing it, if that makes any sense. Like I was always the person in my friend group that like if they had an issue or like they wanted to know about a product, they would just come to me.
Okay.
And so like it didn't really occur to me until I was an adult, until I like soon before I started the blog, that I realized, oh, actually this brings me happiness. You know, this is not something that I'm just like good for when it comes to like just giving out advice. Like this is something that adds something to my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, like my relationship with like really loving beauty and all that stuff, it didn't really crystallize, I think, until after I graduated school. After I graduated college, but even in high school, I was like doing, well, first of all, I wore heels. I was telling someone else the other day, like I wore heels every day in high school.
Wait, what? That's weird. I mean, I went to an all girls school, so that's like unthinkable. I don't even think we were allowed to wear heels.
I mean, they weren't like Louboutins or anything like that.
But you were doing cute wedge.
Well, they were like, you know, the style then was like different. You had your like chunkier heels and they were shorter. And
Steve Madden.
Exactly. Steve Madden, like the wedges. It was a little different, but.
What was your beauty look in high school?
One year, actually it's so funny because my mom – for Christmas. I actually hosted my first Christmas here in Brooklyn this past year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a feat in an apartment, especially. I don't know if you live in an apartment, but.
Yeah, no, it was an experience. But like one of the things my mom brought up from Cleveland was this, my old high school ID card, and I had the highlights. And it wasn't because like I went to the salon, did it like the right way. I did sun in.
Oh my God.
I didn't know
that Black people could use sun in.
Okay. You can't. Okay. Your hair will like fall out. Because yeah. I really messed up because I had a relaxer and then I did like a box dye job and then I did sun in. And so
oh my God.
I had like this really
killer combo.
Yeah. I mean, my hair was, you know, hated me after that. I mean, I liked to experiment when I was in high school. I did that. I remember like I had like some white eyeliner looks.
Ooh, ahead of your time.
I mean, I did like to play around and like my mom, she recognized that. So like, you know, she would go to the department store and like come back with those little like, you know,
sample things.
Yeah. Or like the whole, you know, gift with purchase thing and the whole, the Clinique. I remember I was like really into back then and like Mac. I was just playing around, but it was like mostly, you know, I tried to keep it cute.
Yeah. Who were your beauty icons growing up?
Halle Berry, because she's from Cleveland.
Oh, she is? I didn't know that.
She's from Cleveland.
Did you ever want a shortcut?
No, I knew I couldn't pull it off. You can pull it off. I cannot.
You could definitely pull it off. Why is it different than wearing your hair pulled back?
I don't know.
Cause like you're just serving face. Like you have an amazing face, so you don't need like length.
I guess I could go short if I had the opportunity to also like have a really great wig to like change it up
when you want.
I would feel, I don't know, there's a sense of vulnerability, I think, even when my hair is back like this, that where I'm like, you really see me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm still shy. So I don't want necessarily to be seen all the time so well.
Yeah, it does take some courage to do like a shortcut. It's so interesting because I was thinking about Aaliyah and that deep side swoop that she had and how that, like when I was 15, that was like the epitome of, I don't know, chicness to have like a bang that swooped over your eye. And now like it's like such an impractical hairstyle. Like I wouldn't even dream of having hair like that. But at the time it was just.
Yeah. Well, when you're young, you're not thinking about practicality.
Not at all.
You're like, whatever. This is so cute. It's in the magazine. Let's do it.
Not at all. How do you think your like kind of coming of age experiences, like being in high school, middle school, actually middle school even more so, because I feel like those are the most awkward years of your entire life. How do you think that informed your approach to beauty and the way that you think about beauty now?
Well, you know, I think that I realized that there were things that I didn't know. Like I didn't know, you know, my mom and I, we have different hair textures, for example. So like I remember wanting a relaxer and I remember. Okay.
Is your mom Black? Do you mind if
I ask? No, okay. My mom is Black, but like her hair is just like a lot. It's just a lot finer. Her curl pattern is like bigger or looser than mine is. And like, I very much like took after my dad in a lot more ways than I took after my mother. So like my mom is not even like a beauty person. Mm-hmm. She's like, whatever, I'm going to put on some moisturizer. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. I don't know. Like, so there were a lot of things I feel like I didn't know about. And so I think, and I'm very conscious of that even now. So in terms of just understanding and like being a bridge to people who like may not have been like exposed to like all sorts of things when it comes to beauty, and sort of being that open door of understanding and like, here's something that'll change your life that you may not know about.
Yeah. So maybe in a sense, when you're writing, you are thinking about like a girl in Ohio that could be reading it and making it accessible for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I want beauty to be accessible to everyone. So I'm definitely, accessibility is, you know, one of the goals, I'd say.
Yeah. And I love the conversational tone that a lot of your writing takes, because I think it's very clear that you are smart and you know what you're talking about. And like you can get technical when needed, but I feel like some people hide behind a certain like overly professional formal tone to like show that I know what I'm talking about, and you just don't need any of that. Do you know what I'm, is that coming across correctly?
No, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I think that no one wants to read a term paper, you know,
right.
You came here for beauty. Let me make it fun.
Yes.
And like, let me, you know, let me teach you something, but like, let me not bore you to death. Like, I'm very much like, I want to keep you on this page. So I try to make it as like light and as engaging as possible.
Yes. And I love the way that you write about your experience with your curly natural hair. I was shocked to learn that you don't sleep in a bonnet. Like, you don't wrap your hair at night. I didn't know black girls
I used to.
And you just don't?
Yeah, I just don't.
Wow.
It was too much. I already have like an extensive skincare routine.
Yes.
I'm spending so much time. I'm like, I just got to let some things go. And that's one of them.
Yeah. And I think with my own natural curly hair, I feel like I enjoy wearing it. Like, I like the way it looks, but the realization I've come to is I don't love the work involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. It's great. But when I have braids in, or when I can just have a break from doing I just got like a perm rod set put in, and I'm just happy because I don't have to like do a twist out and a bantu knot out and a wash. Like, it's just like a lot of work.
I mean, it's a lot of work, but I will say this about like natural hair, like natural hairstyles and like that whole sort of world. There is sort of this connection that I feel with just like the practice, but also the products that I don't get with like any other.
Today's episode of Naked Beauty is made possible with support from my friends at Macy's. And before my summer travel hits, I need to get a new carry-on. My old one just is not doing the trick anymore. And thankfully, Macy's has the lowest prices of the season sale. It's here. You can shop online at Macy's.com or in-store April 9th to the 14th. These are the lowest prices you are going to find all year long. So head on over to Macy's.com for 40 to 60% off. Up to 75% off for home and luggage. This is really incredible prices. All right, let's get back into the episode.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOC.
Can you tell us what AWOC means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOC.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, when I'm doing a blowout, I don't feel like I know all the ingredients in like my curl butter or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know the oils.
You know.
It's like this connection that I really do appreciate.
Yeah, it's nice. It's almost like in a weird way, like gardening. Like, I'm trying to like take care of all these plants. And it's like, you can see when you're taking care of your own natural hair and it's hydrated properly, like it thrives in a way that I don't know if you get when you're not wearing your hair.
Oh yeah.
In its natural state.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. And it's nice. It is like a garden.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it that way.
Do you like gardening?
Oh no. I mean, I don't know.
You're probably good at it.
I've never really been given the chance, but I don't know. You have to be patient for that, right?
True. Okay, let's get into product talk. I have a whole list of products that I want to ask you if they're overrated or not.
Okay, I hope I tried them all.
And I'm so curious to get your responses for this because I feel like people are wasting a lot of time doing things. And also, these are some things that I use. I won't tell you which ones I use, but okay. I'm going to say the product and you just say overrated or not overrated.
Okay.
First one, essences.
Not overrated.
Okay, good. Jade rollers.
Overrated.
Okay. I agree. SPF over 30.
Not overrated.
Okay. Infrared saunas.
Overrated.
At-home laser devices, like New Face and...
Not overrated.
Okay. Face gym. Are you familiar with Face gym?
I know Face... I've never been.
It looks
I
overrated.
Hear good things. I don't know.
Like, you're open. Korean sheet masks.
Not overrated. I love them.
Okay. Supplements.
Okay, I have a weird, okay, it's hard for me to say because I have a weird relationship with supplements. Some of them are overrated, some of them are not. Can I cheat
yes,
that way?
Yes, fair. Teeth whitening kits.
Not overrated. They work.
They work, okay. That's
some of them, not all of them, but you know, I try them. I've noticed a difference.
Okay, eyelash treatments. Like, you know those treatments that you can put on your eyelashes to make them grow?
Yeah, not overrated.
Okay, wow.
This is not again, but not all of them work, but some of them do. And when they do, like your lashes are thicker, longer, better.
So it seems like the only things that you think are overrated are jade rollers and infrared saunas. None of us were any of us using essences 3 years ago, and now they're just like a must.
I was.
Oh, you were. Of course you were. Of course
I was
you were.
Using them 3 years ago, and I loved them then. And okay. I just kept it up. It's just, you know, if I stop using an essence, you know, will my face fall apart? No. But does my skin look better when I'm wearing an essence? I think so.
Okay. Well, now I'm dying to hear what are your top three favorite products at the moment? Like, what are the products that you just are in love with?
Okay. So one thing that I'm really, really loving is this new foundation from NARS.
Ooh.
It has, in my opinion, a crazy long name. It's like a NARS Natural Radiant Longwear Foundation.
Okay. Is it like the same formulation as the NARS Creamy Radiant Concealer?
No.
Oh.
I mean, it's thinner, but it just gives you this nice dewy look. Mm. It's apparently made for combination skin.
Okay.
And I would categorize my skin more as oily, and I still love it. I think it gives just a nice, beautiful finish. Whenever I wear it at work, like, people are like, what are you wearing? I'm like, the new NARS. Really? You gotta get it. I'm a big fan of that foundation.
Do you like it more than the Fenty foundation?
No, I like it. The Fenty foundation, like, I mean, I like it a lot. It's a little bit thicker than, yeah. So like the NARS one, it's
more everyday.
Yeah. I just feel like it sort of just glides on your face in a very nice, flattering way.
Okay.
So one thing I'm really, really liking are like hair clips.
Yes.
Hair accessories.
I love. Yes.
Headbands.
Yes.
There's this headband that I have.
I saw it on your Instagram. So cute.
It's by the company is like Lily
Sidhu or something.
Yeah. I don't know where they came from. Like, I don't know anything about their story, but I like their headbands.
Yes. It's like this beautiful, like, pearl encrusted turban.
Yeah. It's like almost like a crown or something. Yeah. I'm really liking that. And like, it's so funny. Like, we just did a group order at work for these like hair clips from Australia to save on shipping.
Oh my gosh.
They're from this site. Oh my gosh. I'm blanking on the name, but I can like
send it to me later.
Yeah. I'll send it to you later. But they have an amazing selection of like hair clips.
I love hair clips.
I just like, there's something fun about it. And I like having fun with beauty. The thing that I'm really, really liking right now for my body is this thing. It's a soap bar with a lot of crystals in it to exfoliate.
Oh.
It's called the Crystal Peeling Bar or Crystal.
Oh, it sounds like natural and up my alley.
I can't even remember the last time I used a bar soap, like seriously, but it happens to like just be super grainy. You rub it all over your body.
Ooh, so it exfoliates too.
You come out of the shower feeling like a wet seal. Like smooth. So
you had me
soft.
At wet seal.
Yes. Like I put it like, I'll like really get like, you know, my heels. I'm like, okay, really smooth down there. I'll get my elbows. It's great.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
Well, those are like the things I'm really loving right now.
At the moment. Okay. What are the beauty trends that you're really over and you would just like to see go away?
I don't know if this is cheating because I think it's already on its way out.
Okay.
I never really bought into the whole unicorn mermaid beauty thing.
Yeah.
There was something about it that just, maybe it was just the marketing. I don't know, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. It's sort of like it spoke to women in a very, you know, childish way, I think.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, not really into it.
Yeah.
Not really sad to see it go.
Yeah. I feel like I just finally figured out how to wear blue eyeshadow and it's been like, whoa, okay, I have blue on my face. Adding like crystals and glitter and all of that, it's...
Yeah. I mean, like there's a way. I mean, I just like... It was just too much. Like, I just didn't like it. And I really did not like the marketing because it was like, oh, look, it's like you're a kid again and here's your crayon box and have fun. It was just, I just really wasn't into that. And so I'm kind of happy to see those on their way out.
Okay.
I mean, I really try not to feel like, oh, because something I don't like or it's not for me, it's got to go away. So like the unicorn mermaid thing, that's like really the only thing part of beauty where I'm like, it's got to go. But everything else, even if I don't necessarily understand it, I'm like, okay, well, that's for someone, not for me. I'm glad you guys are happy with it, whatever, whatever it is, you know, whether it's like, okay, you want to have like crazy hair colors, cool, not for me, you do you. If you want to have like, okay, I'm one to talk about nails because like my nails are like literally terrible.
No, you have great nails.
But like, I don't like the nails where it's like square and like long and square. Like I'm not into like,
the coffin nails.
Yeah, like I'm not into that.
One of my favorite stories that you wrote, this is when you were still at The Cut, was the story behind your preparation for the Into the Gloss interview when they came to your house. Because one of the things I've always wondered when you see those like top shelf stories is like, okay, they must style those, right? Like,
no,
there must be some styling. But then like it sounded like you had to really put in work to get everything ready so that by the time they came, they were just like ready to shoot. And like I think you mentioned the creative director would like group things together and create a moment, but they really just come and shoot your bathroom cabinet.
Yeah, it's like it was a very illuminating experience doing that because I thought like, oh, they're gonna have a team, you
they're gonna clean everything and
I'm gonna look super cute because everyone else will take care of me. But they really want you, you know, now I'm a part
of
it.
Yes, I know, I was gonna say now you're on the other side.
But it's like, you know, it's really much you present yourself the way that like you want to be presented and you know, your normal everyday. And that's pretty, I mean, my normal everyday on like level 10 is probably what I presented to everyone.
You looked great in the feature. And I think everything you did to prepare is perfectly reasonable.
Well, thank you.
The way that you looked at it before you worked there versus how you look at it now, has it changed?
Yeah. I thought like on the other side, I thought, there was like, you know, a bigger team behind it, or like there was just a lot more people like running around helping out. And then on the other side, it's, oh, it's, you know, it's a small team doing Into the Gloss, and it's, you know, a small team just literally loving their job, loving everything that they do and sort of like churning out these pieces. So like very frequently, like when I was at The Cut, we wouldn't do like a big beauty piece that often because like we didn't really have the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to put together, but at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, we churn out these like really long 2000, you know, word top shelves or top shelf after dark. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. It makes you really appreciate, you know, being on the other side, but yeah.
Yeah. And what do you, there's something that's so intimate about showing the inside of your beauty cabinet, right? It's like a self-portrait, or it's like a portrait of you, but it's not the same as showing your closet. Like there's something so specifically intimate about that, but I can't pinpoint why it's so intimate.
Well, it's showing a part of yourself that not a lot of people get to see. Because like when you think about like who's going through your bathroom cabinet, it's like usually a really good friend or someone you love, a family member, something. And so like there's that sort of, I think, vulnerability of, you know, showing a part of yourself that you don't really show normally. And also there's a vulnerability in like this that you see, it's work.
Yes.
Like, you know.
That's interesting.
You don't just like, I didn't just wake up like this.
Right.
You know, I put in work to look like this. And not everyone's comfortable explaining that.
Yes. I did notice that when you did your top shelf, that you had beauty, like makeup products at the bottom and then skincare. Do you keep everything together? Like you keep your skincare and your makeup products together?
Well, I've moved since that was shot. Okay. And so like now, there's a little bit of overlap, but I do try to like keep my skincare things like in the cabinet, like the bathroom cabinet, and then my makeup products in a drawer in my bathroom.
Okay.
So I try to like separate it a little bit.
Yeah. I just recently started separating my skincare from my makeup, and I feel like it's made me so much more organized.
Yeah. Also like just from I can't seem to have makeup without it like getting everywhere.
Right, you know, exactly.
So it's like if I just have my skincare alone, at least it looks like pretty and clean.
Yes.
And, you know, my makeup can be, you know,
in a bag,
right,
zipped up away somewhere.
Yeah, there's like some like brown, you know, foundation on the outside.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, getting everything else brown, whatever.
I remember reading that, or maybe I heard it on Darian's interview with you, that you said that you test skincare on one side of your face to see if it's working. Do you still do that?
Yeah. And I do that with hair too. Like,
wow.
If I'm testing a conditioner or something, I'll separate my hair. Like, you know, one side will be like one conditioner, you know, one side the other. And it's really helpful, that comparative analysis.
Yeah. And then it kind of makes me wonder, like, for all the beauty editors that don't do that, like, how do you really know if something works? Because there's so many other factors.
I don't know. I mean, there's some things like makeup. Okay, you don't need to do that.
Right.
But for skincare, for hair care, I think that's, you need that sort of like, unless it's, you know, blatantly obvious, like, oh, this thing like super transformed my skin, is an amazing exfoliator, this conditioner, woo, my hair is so soft, whatever.
Yeah.
Unless it's like super obvious, it's hard to tell.
And where do you fall on in terms of natural versus synthetic? Like, how much do you care how natural a product is?
I'm not scared of synthetic things. Like,
okay.
I actually don't mind them at all. And sometimes I'm actually a little bit more resistant to like natural products because I'm like, does it really work? And sometimes actually like natural products, of like the fragrances, for example, they could be like even more irritating than the synthetic alternatives.
Mm.
When I am using a mainly natural product, I do feel like a closeness to the actual product than I would than, you know, versus some, you know,
mass produced
lab,
mm-hmm.
you know, thing. But at the same time, I'm not super worried about something being synthetic.
Okay. What about, like, are there any natural products that you know that you love, or your skin loves, or your hair loves, like a shea butter or a certain oil?
My dad makes lotions sometimes.
Oh my God.
And, like, well, it all started.
Please have your dad on the podcast.
Well,
he's steaming his face. He's making lotions.
It all started from when my brother had eczema, and he's like, oh, how can I make him better? So he started making lotions, and he'll make shea butter lotions.
Okay.
And
I do
so,
that
I actually,
too.
So I actually do like shea butter for my skin. It's going to like give me all nice and shiny and moisturized. Tea tree oil. I'm really into tea tree oil.
Have you used it on your scalp before?
Yeah.
So good.
Very invigorating. I like
so
that.
Good.
And I just love the smell too. Something about it just like brings me back. It makes me feel like
alive.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes.
I do like just the experience of rose water.
Mm.
And like, I see that in like a lot of things now.
I know you love a vitamin C serum.
Yes.
And I feel like you put me onto Paula's Choice.
Yeah.
Versus like really expensive, overpriced.
I do love Paula's Choice.
Serums on the market.
I mean, I don't know if I put you on Paula's Choice, but I feel like a Paula's Choice like ambassador sometimes, especially when I first moved to New York. Like, speaking of like going back to like feeling guilty about recommending expensive products, like Paula's Choice was a product that I could afford when I like first moved to New York, and I thought it was the most amazing thing. And like, why weren't people writing about Paula's Choice?
Yeah.
It was just like this crazy thing to me because their products are so good. But their prices have gone up a little bit, but not like a crazy egregious amount.
Yeah.
It's still like within the affordable range. And I really do like that about them. But like their vitamin C, I love it. It has like the combination, because like you want vitamin C, but you also want this like triple like combo of,
yes,
of the vitamin C, the folic acid.
Yep.
And then the vitamin E, I want to say, like the three of them together, like they stabilize the vitamin C, like they make it the vitamin C more efficacious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Paula's Choice does that. And I think that is so much cheaper than like all the other ones.
All the other ones like that have the exact same ingredients.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's something that I see all the time. Like, and I think The Ordinary was really revolutionary in terms of saying like you're overpaying for these very basic ingredients. But there's so many brands that are now just selling like a very like argan oil, moringa oil. Like, they're not even pretending to add other things, and they're just putting their brand name on it, and there's like a 500% increase in price. And it's like, how are you able to do this? But I guess they're hoping that people don't recognize or do the research needed to realize they could buy it cheaper elsewhere.
I mean, maybe they're going to be surprised a little bit, because I feel like more, than ever. People are like doing the research, you know, do the due diligence of like, what are people saying about this product?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. We were talking about Reddit earlier. They're not playing around at all.
Yeah. Like the way like people get beauty recommendations now, I think more than ever, is like either directly or they're going on the internet, they're Googling it and they're saying, okay, like what is Makeup Alley? What is Reddit saying? Like,
yes.
What?
Oh, I love Makeup Alley.
Yeah. Those sources of like actual experiences, because I think there is this level of mistrust in, you know, the industry and knowing whether or not, does this review really like, you know, say everything there is about this product?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You need independent third parties to tell you what's up.
Yes.
Okay. We can't finish without me getting your skincare, your AM and PM skincare routine.
Okay. And I brought like notes just in case, 'cause I'm like, okay, I'm not going to forget anything.
We need the details.
Okay. So I will start out this way. It changes constantly.
Okay.
Because of my job, because I'm constantly trying to find new things. So like what I'll do is I have my routine, and then like to try a new product, I'll incorporate it, you know, the one product in, and I'll do that for like 2 weeks, and I'll incorporate a new product. So it's like almost constantly changing. But like this is my skincare routine right now.
Everyone, hope you're listening. Hope you're ready to open your notes app, do what you need to do. The skincare routine is coming.
Okay. So in the morning, wash my face. I use Glossier's Milky Jelly Cleanser.
Okay.
I love it. I've loved that cleanser since before I started working there. Like I think it's the best. It's such a nice experience. It's like a cushiony feeling. It has like a rose scent to it because it's made with rose water and it doesn't feel drying.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like up until like maybe 5 years ago, I was like trying to find the most drying cleanser there was, because like I was like, okay, I need to fight the oily skin, I need to fight the acne. But this one is not, it's good. It's just really good.
Okay, let's get even more specific.
Yeah.
What temperature are you using?
Oh.
Of water. Because like some people are like, it has to be freezing cold water.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I need warm water.
Warm water. And then do you use a washcloth or is it just your hands?
Just my hands.
Just your hands. Okay.
Yeah. I used to, I mean, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I was using the Clarisonic. But,
oh, yeah.
But now,
what happened to those? Like, I feel like everyone was obsessed and now like no one uses them.
I got bored with it. Yeah. And I was like, am I like doing too much like physical exfoliation every day? Like,
And then
I thought about like, okay, is there like bacteria staying on this brush? Am I putting it back I'm such like a weird bacteria person.
Same.
Like, I won't even dry my face with like a towel. I'll either let it air dry or I like take a paper towel and just dry that
way. It's so interesting that you mentioned the Clarisonic brush, because I feel like recently I've just been looking at my beauty blenders and I'm like, I don't know, something about them, like I feel like what's trapped in, like I wash them, but like I've recently just been like, do I just need to get rid of my beauty blenders? Like, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, I still have mine, so don't listen to me. But
okay, so you wash your face in the morning.
Yeah, okay, so I do that. And then after that, I'm not using a toner right now, but I do use an acid like either every morning or every night. It depends.
Wow, okay.
So like the acid I'm using, Indie Lee has like a new, speaking of like natural.
Yeah. I think she does great products.
Yeah. Like she has this, Radiance Renewal, peel, and it's basically just, like on a cloth disc thing that you just put over your face. It had some acids in it. I think it has like a little bit of vitamin C as well.
Okay.
So I'll do that. Or I'll use Solution, which is also by Glossier. It's only two Glossier products I like using right now. And that is like a bunch of acids in it. And I'm just like always, I'm very big on, you know, using acids as
chemical
my source
exfoliation.
Of exfoliation. Exactly. Chemical exfoliation. And then sometimes if I'm using a vitamin C serum in the morning, I'll skip the acids.
Okay.
Because the vitamin C serum I have, it's the Tatcha one.
Okay.
And it already has acids
in it.
Okay. Yeah. It has like, it's vitamin C and it's like, I think glycolic is in there. Some sort of alpha hydroxy acid is in there as well. So I don't want to overwhelm my skin. So just to like be clear, I either use the Solution or Indie Lee, or I'll use a Tatcha vitamin C.
Okay.
It just depends, like every other day. And then after that, I'll do an essence.
Okay. Yes. And so, which essence?
So like I want to do like the actives first. And then the essence right now that I'm using is by Amore Pacific.
Okay.
I really like that one. It's brown. It almost looks like iodine. But it's just a nice hydrating layer. And I was like sick last week and like 2 weeks ago. And I remember especially then, like, this is such a nice thing I'm doing to my skin when my skin feels so gross and I feel like, you know, just gross in general. It's just a nice little moisture layer.
Yeah. I'm fully bought into essences.
Yeah. And they're great. And like people will be like, oh, I don't know if there's a benefit. I mean, if you don't use one, it's fine. But I just happen to like them because I think they do add something to my skin. And so, okay. So after the essence, then I do a hyaluronic acid.
Oh, wow.
Cause, and I'm really into that now cause it's the winter and like hyaluronic acid, you know, super moisturizing.
Yeah.
I sort of hacked, a product. It's by this brand called Exuviance.
Okay.
And they have these intensive, like patches that you either put them under your eye or like around your,
I've seen those.
Your parentheses or like whatever.
Yeah.
Your smile nasal lines. Lobule fold, I think. Yeah. Your smile lines. But instead of doing that, so it's like they have the patch and then like the actual serum that you're supposed to put underneath the patch. I just use the serum because it's like a really intense hyaluronic acid serum.
Yeah.
And so like lately I've been doing that around my nose and like around my eyes. And I feel like it's just really good to moisturize those areas now in the winter.
Yeah. And so you do that before eye cream?
Yeah. Well, I don't use eye cream. So that's like,
gosh, I know. Wait, I'm so happy that you're saying this because I want to get into this. What is eye cream? Is it a scam? Like,
it's not a scam.
I feel like people have such dramatically different thoughts on eye cream. Some people are like, oh my gosh, are you crazy? You don't use eye cream. And other people are like, you don't need eye cream.
I don't think eye cream is a scam. I think some eye creams are good. Some eye creams are bad. And also you have to look at like, what are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to, you know, you have like really, really bad dark circles and you're trying to make them go away.
Eye cream's not going to do that.
Yeah. Like you need something a little stronger. If you want like some, you know, hydration or you like to get rid of a little bit of puffiness, that sort of thing. I think eye creams actually do, you know, the good ones do help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's sort of like an essence in terms of like, okay, I could use an eye cream, but you know, an essence is fine because like I appreciate that level and like I really do see the effects. For an eye cream, for me, I mean, I would see like maybe a little bit of an improvement, but not enough for me to be like, yeah, I'm gonna use this every day.
Exactly. I do think that there are some things that people are trying to correct with like topical creams that just realistically there's not enough, like you can't buy an expensive enough cream to do some of these things.
Yeah. And I kind of blame the industry for that because
they make it seem like you can.
Yeah. And it's so misleading. Like, come on. Like this eye cream is not going to like dramatically change the way you look. It's just not.
I mean,
it's going to really moisturize around your eyes. You're not going to look worse, but you're not going to look completely different either.
Yeah. No, that's so true.
But yeah, I used to use eye creams, but like now I'm like, you know, I'm doing so much else. It's not for me.
And so, okay. So now you have on your hyaluronic acids everywhere.
And then I just put on a moisturizer and I mean, all the moisturizers I use have sunscreen in them.
Okay. Smart.
And I'm not even like, I have a bunch that I rotate right now. I just happen to be using one by Aveeno.
Oh, nice.
It's the radiance product.
Yeah. It's like a beige-ish color.
Yeah, exactly. I forget. It's like the one with the green cap and the beige like body.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my sunscreen and that's my morning routine.
Oh, nice. Okay. And nighttime.
Night. Okay. So usually I use an oil cleanser or like a balm cleanser to take off my makeup.
Love. Cause
I typically, not every day, but more often than not, I wear makeup.
Yeah.
So that's to me is like the most effective way to get it off, like better than a wipe.
Yeah.
I like, it's a Vanilla Co. Clean It Zero Balm. Takes off my makeup. It's not even expensive. So like I feel good about it. I always feel good about recommending that. And then I do another cleanser because I double cleanse. Usually I actually don't double cleanse with Glossier though, because I think it's like a little bit, it's a little too moisturizing when I'm doing a double cleanse.
Okay.
So like I actually like Biologique Recherche. They have like
it was a matter of time before they came up. Okay.
Yeah, they have like a couple of cleansers that I like. I like the Le Ou one. I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, and the VIP 02 cleanser that like I'll switch on and off.
Okay.
And I just, yeah, I like those. They're not stripping, but they cleanse. So they're all good. And then after that, it depends. Usually if I haven't exfoliated in the morning, I'll exfoliate it at night. Okay. So like if I did the vitamin C in the morning, then I'll do the chemical exfoliation.
Oh, wow.
So like, again, either Andy Lee or Solution right now for me.
Okay.
And then after that, then I do the essence, still using Amore Pacific essence. But other essences that I happen to like are Misha, Time Revolution, and SK2. Those are also two good ones.
Yes.
And then Tatcha Water Cream. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't tried that. I love Tatcha products, though.
Yeah. Tatcha top down, I just think they're amazing from the packaging to the actual product.
I agree.
But I love, love, love water cream because it really feels like it's hydrating my skin, but it feels like nothing at all. There's this like, it's almost like you scoop it up. It's in a jar.
Yeah.
So it's like a cream, but you scoop it up, you put it on your face, and almost like it melts into like a liquid on your face.
Yeah.
It's so light. It's so moisturizing. It's just it's a great experience.
Yeah.
Like, let alone the fact that, you know, your skin looks really great afterwards. It's just like a nice.
It feels good.
Yeah. Because like even like the simple act of there's a spoon on top of the jar and you like take out the spoon and
the
you
ceremony
scoop it.
Of it.
Yeah. It's just like, it's really nice.
Yeah. Do you let your fiance use your products or you like stay on your side?
Yeah. He uses some. I mean, I get him his own products now.
Oh, nice.
But like he has his own routine. He's so cute about it. Like, I mean, I gotta be honest, like I try to be on my routine every single day. Like every morning I'm obviously on it. Not every night. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do me and I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But like, he's way better than I am.
He's consistent.
Yeah. I'll like be like, Ashley, get up. We got to do our routine.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh my gosh. True love.
Yeah.
Like, have you thought about your bridal look yet? Your makeup bridal? Are you going to go natural? Or are you going to be like a bride with like a stunning red lip?
I mean, probably I'll do natural just because like I'm not really a va-va-voom sort of person anyway. Yeah. So like, I mean, I haven't thought too much about my wedding, to be honest, just because.
When did you get engaged?
I got engaged in October.
Okay. That's new.
So like, yeah, like I'm like, oh, yeah. I kind of.
Have you bought a bridal magazine yet? It's like kind
no.
of like, you should just like do it once, you know? Cause like you always see them and you're like, who are those for?
Yeah. I mean, I will. I kind of like, you know, I sort of jokingly told him that like, oh, why don't you just plan the wedding? And he is sort of like going ahead and doing things. Uh-huh. So I'm like, okay, let's see how long this will keep up.
I love that. When do you feel most beautiful?
I feel most beautiful when I'm stepping out of the shower and I've just clean my body. I've done like, not those like 5-minute showers, but like the long haul showers.
Yes.
Where I've like scrubbed, and maybe I shaved, I did my hair, like I did the whole works. And yeah, I feel like pretty good after that. I feel most beautiful then.
And so no makeup then?
Yeah.
Just clean.
Yeah, just clean. Like a good, good freshness, good cleanness.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Naked Beauty Podcast and sharing all this wisdom.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, guys. I'll be back next week with another episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.